This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we are joined by Mr. Nils Larson and, I'm sorry, I'm brain dead.
Sasha Alice.
Okay, Sasha. You need to be right up there.
Right.
Perfect. Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
And this is the NASA low boom flight demonstration. Okay.
That's right.
We're talking about, so we're still shooting at supersonic transports in this country.
Oh, we are.
Wow. Wait a minute. No boom? What's the point?
Yeah, what's the fun of that?
Well, you know, not everybody likes the boom. You know, we kind of like it out there in California, or at least out there in the deserts of California.
Oh, now I know where my next retirement home is going to be, because I want to hear some booms.
Yeah, let's crank it up.
We don't get those in the East Coast.
No, not very much.
Nope, yeah. Nope, not like we used to. Anyway, what exactly are we doing? How do you tame the boom?
Well, we have the X-59 coming up in about 2 years, just a little less than 2 years. It should do its first flight out of Palmdale out there in Southern California. And it's designed to make the boom more like a thump, more like closing your car door or distant rolling thunder. So the idea is we're going to go fly this thing in phase one. We're going to go out and make sure it's safe. Phase two, we go out and actually measure the boom. And then phase three, we got to take it on a road show across the country and go out there and figure out from the public, we're going to go make our sonic thump and get everybody's feedback to make sure that that's an acceptable sound for everybody in a sound level. And then that becomes the new standard. Instead of thou shalt not fly over Mach 1 for civil airplanes, we now have a noise-based standard instead.
Okay. Now, for those, a lot of us that aren't familiar with what a sonic boom is, explain exactly what it is and how it's created.
Well, anytime you're going faster than Mach 1, you got the shock waves coming off that create a sonic boom. So it's, essentially thunder is a form of a sonic boom. So, when you're nice and close to it, it's, pretty disturbing. If you're far off and it's just that rumble, it's not so bad.
It's not the thunder that worries me. It's the lightning.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Yeah.
The shockwave is created because you're trying to push the air faster than it wants to get out of the way of the aircraft, something like that?
Yeah,
you're compressing it?
Basically, like you have a wake from your boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you end up with a wake, once you're going, faster than the speed of sound, that is the shockwave, that comes off.
So we discovered the boom a long time ago.
Yeah.
Were they expecting the boom, I wonder?
I think they were, and they kind of knew that it was coming. I'm not sure, exactly what they thought when they first, heard the boom. The other thing is it kind of depends on your altitude or whether you're going to hear it. There's a thing we call Mach cutoff, that if you're not going faster than that speed, it won't really reach the ground, so you won't hear it. So you can be Mach 1 or say Mach 1.05, maybe 1.1, and the guys on the ground won't even hear it because it's not going to get there.
Okay.
Does the sonic boom dissipate with altitude?
It does. Yeah. So if you're a lot closer, you guys watch the Mythbusters and all
right.
that other fun
right.
stuff that,
mm-hmm.
Those guys helped us out when it comes to a lot of the different, dispelling some of the myths out there. Weather affects it, wind affects it, humidity. There's all kinds
right.
of things that
humid
will
air's
affect
denser.
It. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Never thought about that.
I haven't either.
So... You're at this point, you're just trying to learn how to tame the boom. You're not trying to design a transport SST or any of that kind of stuff. That's
correct.
A ways off.
Yeah, the X-59 is not a prototype. It is a demonstrator. So, we've done little pieces of taming the boom for a while. We've shaped the front of the airplane. We've done some stuff for the back of the airplane. When you have a sonic boom, it's when it reaches the ground, it's called an N wave because it looks like a big N.
Okay.
When you
a pressure
plot
wave.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So one of the things that we're trying to do now is kind of put it all together in a specific airplane that is purpose built. To validate all the modeling, that the engineers have come up with and said, if we build the airplane like this, it should produce, a thump like this. So now the idea is go build it, validate it, and then go out, like I said, on the road show and make sure that everybody's good with that noise that it makes.
Right. So the end product of this hopefully is more like a formula to make an aircraft with low boom.
Exactly.
And then the aircraft manufacturers can go, then we can build one of these and using
right.
that.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to take this to local air shows when you get your road program going?
Well, there will be different community cities that we will take it to. We've done kind of a practice one already, just because it's not easy taking the data. We did a program at NASA called QSF-18, and that was about a year ago. We went down to Galveston, Texas. And with the F-18, we can produce a low boom, but it's very purpose. It only actually does a low boom for a very small little area, and it has some other side effects that, you know, aren't as good as going out there and doing it in the real X-59. But it was to kind of look at the community response and figure out how we're going to actually go measure that. So there's been a little bit of stuff that's gone on, but this is the first thing that's, you know, end-to-end purpose-built to go out
right.
and get this data.
I haven't actually seen any photos, but from the sticker, this airplane looks like it's going to be pretty large.
It is. It's just shy of 100 feet long.
Wow.
With about a 30-foot wingspan. You know, it looks like, you know, those darts we use.
I was going to say, it's a flying lawn dart.
Yeah, it is. You know, you call the F-16 a lawn dart, but nah, this thing's the real lawn dart. It's the stuff that they won't let you play with anymore because everybody's getting hurt.
Right.
If you look at the picture and come by, we got a couple models over there at the NASA Pavilion, but it has no forward field of view. So it has a virtual windshield. So
okay.
Essentially, there's a 4K, you know, a UHD camera in the front. There's also another one on the bottom. And basically, your front windscreen is, a 4K UHD, monitor.
Well, make sure the screensaver's turned off.
No, that's a good idea. We'll put that down.
I was going to say, how does that work with depth perception? You're just looking at a flat panel.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we've got some simulation and stuff that we've done. And, you know, we got a lot of really smart guys that work at NASA. And I'm not sure why they ever picked me. But so you do have, some side windows and a little bit of front, quarter windows, which are also blocked by a canard somewhat. But it's very mechanical. When we've gone to go do some of the simulation stuff, we've taken some of our UAS pilots, our UAV pilots, and those guys are great at landing the thing because they're used to having no depth perception. You know, the guys who used to fly our Ikana, which is a form of a Reaper.
Okay.
That we used to have. So those guys are really good at landing it. And a lot of guys that have had a decent amount of HUD experience, it's not too bad. It's one of those, you put the thing on the thing, and when a radar altimeter says this, you put the thing on the other thing, and then it touches down.
Right. So you land by procedure.
Yeah. It's very open loop, very mechanical. You know, it's not trying to grease it on. You're just trying to get it down and get it on the runway.
Oh, so they've got long travel landing gear for that reason.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully you'll see it here someday. When you were asking about the air shows, I'm sure at some point we'll be, as we progress, we'll be trying to get the X-59 here someday. And it would be really nice if, we can find a way to make the thump for everybody to actually hear at the air show.
This is a perfect test environment, if you ask me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We'd all be disappointed. That would be the problem.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can have a Hornet go along, too, and maybe
right.
they can make the boom,
well,
and then you have
a
thump afterwards
idea,
to kind of compare it to.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be hired because I want to be the guy that sticks the tennis ball on the nose when it's on the ground so nobody gets speared.
We've seen those tennis balls with little faces drawn on them, so it looks like the tennis ball's eating the airplane.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like a big Pac-Man.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have they started bending metal on the airframe
they
yet?
They have. Lockheed Martin is the prime contractor out there at the Skunk Works there in Palmdale. Some of the stuff is in the jig right now. Avionics is being done by the guys over there at Rockwell Collins. Things are progressing, and it's kind of exciting to be on the design team looking at this thing.
It's exciting to be part of anybody doing things.
Oh, it is. Well, and that's one of the great things lately is, you know, it's like aeronautics is back.
Right.
We have two manned X planes that are happening in the next few years. And, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on, NASA's going back to the moon, all kinds of stuff that you kind of look
right.
and go, wow, it's fun.
It's exactly, yeah. exactly. It's about time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing that I'm wondering about is the construction of the structure itself. You're not really using any, well, not any, but not a whole lot of exotic materials on this airplane, are you, as a demonstrator?
No, huh? I mean, it's a standard Franken airplane of most X-planes. You know, it's got F-16 landing gear, parts out of, you know, F-18s, you know, so stuff from all over the place.
Got the little bathroom out of the C-130.
Yeah, there you go. What about the coffee maker? Don't forget
that.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's not going to fly long enough for that, I don't think. Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, where do we go to find out more on the field?
Come over to the NASA Pavilion. We've got a bunch of displays over there for all the great things that NASA's doing, and we'd love to see you guys stop by.
Oh, yeah. I want my picture taken in it.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, that's going to be a couple more years before that gets here, but yeah.
Well, look, if you guys ever need wheel chocks, we'll volunteer
that's right.
for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to think about is that nose wheel is behind me. The cockpit's 50 feet back. So where are you going to get a tow bar for this thing?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's going to be awfully long.
It's going to need handholds because that's the only way you'll be able to move it safely.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us.
Well, thanks
for having
us. It's
always good to have NASA because NASA good.
Yeah, all you have to do is just go on the web and go NASA, and it'll take you everywhere you want to go.
All right. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.